Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Amerks host Syracuse tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get into some NFL draft talk with Thor Nystrom, the best, rotoworld.com. And Thor, since the last time we've talked to you, you've printed thousands and thousands and churned out just paragraph after paragraph on wide receivers, interior linemen. We want to get into all of it. Thor, how are you?
I'm a little bit tired, but man, I'm jacked up. It's draft season. I'm good to go.
Yeah, Thor, I remember you told us last time that sometimes you'll pull all-nighters writing this stuff. Are you getting enough sleep? You taking care of yourself?
Worried about you, Thor. Yeah.
My girlfriend and my mom would say no, but I would say that I'm getting my work done.
I like it. Now let's talk about the wideouts and the interior offensive linemen that you've chronicled since our last chat. We want to begin with a look at the receiver prospects that are out there, and a lot of Bills fans would be okay with the team selecting DK Metcalf at 9. He's been kind of like a guy that everybody's infatuated with because of the picture and the combine performance. You actually have Iowa State's Akeem Butler as your wide receiver 1. How come?
Yeah, I do. Well, the short answer is because he's better. And I also think he has a higher ceiling. I mean, listen, Akeem's got he's definitely got a higher floor, way higher floor than DK. So let's start there. DK's floor, in my opinion, is an early medical retirement. You know, I mean, like you look at his pictures and, you know, people saw his picture on Twitter and just went nuts. And I basically had the opposite reaction to it where he doesn't look like a real person. He doesn't look like a human being, you know, not in the superlative way that other people mention it. He's a guy who his body fat was tested at the combine at like 1.5%. And there is, I did a lot of research on this because I wanted to see just how unhealthy medical professionals view that. There's a 2.5% margin of error on that. So if it gave a bad reading on DK, he's at 4%. Below 3% is considered extremely unhealthy, like for a human being, I'm talking about. And he had a neck injury last year that ended his season. It was the second season-ending injury that he'd had in 3 years at Ole Miss. The neck injury really concerns me. We saw a stud receiver that should have been in this class, Amon Richards, who had to retire because of a neck issue. Go back 3 years ago or whatever, Mike Williams coming out of Clemson had neck issues. And Mike Williams has, I believe, less than 70 catches in his career so far, even though he started to come on a little bit last year. So I have big questions about DK's floor. Then you also talk about DK was in an air raid system, you know, pass happy air raid system at Ole Miss. He got to work with three different quasi NFL quarterbacks, you know, and Chad Kelly, the kid in this class, Te'Amu, and then Shea Patterson, who's now at Michigan. DK was always on the left side of the alignment, only one look every single time. He got space because there was all the other guys there, A.J. Brown, Dawson Knox, DeMarcus Lodge, et cetera, et cetera. And he still caught less than 70 balls total in college. So I realized that, you know, some of his highlights were really nice and stuff like that, but it was typically in space. It was typically going downfield. North-south as an athlete is great, obviously. You know, the size-speed combination is ridiculous, but I see more of that deep ball kind of a guy. I don't see any nuance with his game. His floor is the early medical retirement, which I do think is in play. Not a lot of people are talking about it, but I think it's in play. And then, you know, even if he plays it out, you know, I mean, he could be a guy like David Boston or a guy like Troy Williamson or something like that, like a guy who is a one-trick pony downfield. The nuance, you know, that stuff of it, we did not see it at Ole Miss. So that's going to have to be developed. And then as far as Hakeem, he is an absolute deep ball killer and a freak of an athlete, 6'5", 227, tested in the 92nd percentile. He's every bit the athlete that DK is, you know, when you do size adjustments for that. And it's weird that people aren't talking about him like that, but it's not like it's a surprise. Hakeem Butler was on Bruce Feldman's freak list before the season, 7-foot wingspan. He tested in the 95th percentile or above of all receivers to ever enter the NFL in height, weight, wingspan, arm length, and hand size. And he's also a freak athlete. I, to me, he is a Mike Evans or Plaxico Burress type player, but he's got that trump card downfield, and that's where he reminds me of Evans in college. Mike Evans got Johnny Manziel drafted in the first round because Johnny could just throw up, you know, jump balls downfield, and Evans will go up and get it. That's what Hakeem Butler is. Butler is very raw. He's raw in a different way than DK. He's less raw than DK. I'll toss that out there. Butler played a bunch of different spots in college. You know, he played in the slot. He played outside. He did all kinds of different things. So he knows how, you know, he knows his way around the formation and stuff like that. The one question that you have about Butler is he dropped too many balls, but his hands are fine. I mean, he makes some ridiculous catches. If, you know, people out there listening to this, go on Twitter. He does the thing where he can jump up in the air and he can get up, you know, 10 feet off the ground or whatever, with that 7-foot wingspan and the vertical and at 6'5", and he can snatch balls out of the air with one hand, you know, that kind of a thing, like the Odell Beckham thing. And so the hands aren't the issue. What the issue is for Hakeem is he just doesn't have many live reps yet. In high school, at the end of his high school career, unfortunately for him, he came from a tough situation. His mom passed away. He had to move down to Texas. He lived with the Harrison twins. For people out there that know basketball, the kids that went to Kentucky and later played in the NBA, they're cousins of his. And Hakeem ended up getting suspended by the Texas high school football folks for half of the season because they thought he was transferring for football reasons. And so he only got to play half his junior, and then he was also limited to half of his senior year on a team where he was playing with Steven Sims, who became the number one receiver at Kansas. So that's why he got overlooked in recruiting. Iowa State took the flyer on him. He went there, and they basically had to teach him how to play wideout. You know, and that took a couple years. The year before this past year, he was the secondary option to Alan Lazard, who Iowa State just funneled all their touches to. But this year just went off, you know, as the number one receiver with Lazard off to the NFL. So I think there is a ton of ceiling left to go with Hakeem, and I do see him as a Mike Evans or a Plaxico Burress type in the NFL.
We want instant results now because, yeah, Evans had a great freshman year in the NFL, if I recall. Butler, what did they run? What kind of offense did they run Iowa State? Is it sophisticated enough? Will Butler have a big learning curve when he goes to the NFL here, Thor?
Well, in terms of that, I would say it was more sophisticated than Ole Miss is. But this past season, it was basically funneling touches to Hakeem. You know, I mean, like, if you look at their receiving stats, it was basically all stuff to Hakeem when they weren't dumping things off to David Montgomery. Iowa State didn't have anybody else. And so they play Hakeem in the slot a lot, just like they did with Lazard, because their Iowa State's offensive line was one of the worst in the FBS, just absolute abomination of an offensive line. And their quarterback play was bad throughout. And so they'd use guys like Lazard or Butler, like these big kids in the slot, and just funnel touches to them for free yards over the middle. And so we saw some of that. And then, of course, we also got to see them on the outside, you know, when they take deep shots. But on tape, you'll see a whole lot of just awful throws, you know, especially when they're trying to throw it to them downfield. You know, before they had a kid named Kyle Kemp, a veteran. And then they moved over to this freshman, Brock Purdy. And Purdy's going to be okay, but he has a noodle for an arm right now. We'll see if it gets any better. But he underthrew Hakeem like crazy on some of these throws this fall. And Hakeem would work back to the ball. He'd just slam on the brake, 6'5", you know, almost 230 pounds, work back to the ball. And then some of these times he would levitate over defenders, you know, get up in the air way up there and catch the ball over them, you know, and then just basically shuck them aside and then run into the end zone. Another thing I didn't mention about Hakeem's profile, awesome after the catch, tremendous blocker, very, very, very hard worker. So, you know, I just think he translates very well. And I do think as a rookie, he is going to be a difference maker. Absolutely. If nothing else, just because of the deep ball stuff, you know, even with all of his drops last year, and he had a ton, I don't want to poo-poo that. But, you know, again, I think that's an experience thing. I think that's a raw thing. I think that's a trying to do too much thing and a trying to salvage Brock Purdy's ducks thing. And I just think, like, downfield, even with all those drops, he was still Pro Football Focus's number one deep ball receiver in terms of receptions and deep yards. And he also had a bunch of yards run per route last year. So even with the drops, he was still college football's best deep receiver last year.
Thor Nystrom, rotoworld.com, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You can read his write-ups on all the prospects from wide receiver to offensive line right now at rotoworld.com. And we know that the Bills, Thor, extended their Arizona trip to the owners' meetings to take in the Arizona State Pro Day. Could N'Keal Harry be available to the Bills in round two? How did he grade against another wide receiver that the Bills selected in round two just 2 years ago in Zay Jones?
If N'Keal Harry's there in round two for the Bills, the Bills have died and gone to heaven. If N'Keal Harry is not a first-round pick, I toss up my hands and wonder what people are looking at. N'Keal Harry's a kid that gets nitpicked because, you know, you see these guys on tape. You know, when people go back and watch these games outside of context, that's watch the tape. And what they see is they'll say, like, oh, he doesn't create enough separation, right? Because, like, a lot of these guys, you know, they're writing about the draft from an NFL perspective, they're watching these plays outside of context, and they're looking at very, like, macro-level things. And so that's why you start to see prospects get nitpicked. And N'Keal doesn't have, like, a ton of, you know, he doesn't create a ton of separation, like, during the route or whatever. But you don't see a ton of separation in the NFL. Like, I mean, how many times over the past, like, couple years can you guys recall seeing receivers who were wide open? You know, I mean, what the NFL is about is creating these micro-throwing windows, or these throwing opportunities for your quarterback. You just got to give them a window. They get it in there, and then you got to come down with the ball, and that is where he excels. In terms of ball skills, he's one of the best receivers that we've had come out in recent years. He catches everything. I mean, his ball skills are stupid. His, like, you know, you look at, like, his highlights, he makes, like, Neo-type catches where it just should not be catching the ball. And then the other thing, you know, that I nitpick with these guys when they nitpick N'Keal is, you know, this idea that he doesn't separate it. There's sort of an implication that there's a lack of athleticism or there's a lack of agility. Both are categorically untrue. You see N'Keal with the ball in his hands, he's magic. He sort of reminds me running the ball like Reggie Bush at USC, not in terms of the pure, you know, explosive athleticism, but in terms of picking his way through crowds, in terms of making moves, in terms of creativity. You would see N'Keal, like, coming around on end arounds where, you know, he's just waiting through traffic, you know, and it's sort of like, he's just zigzagging everywhere, and, you know, there'd be five guys around him, and all of a sudden, N'Keal's gone. Or just, you know, catching the ball, and then, you know, all these guys are descending on him, and he would reverse his field. And punt returns as well. Was a great punt returner. So there's just so many different things that N'Keal Harry can do. To me, he's a top 20 prospect in the class. He might get nitpicked, you know, where he would fall down the board. I would be surprised. But then again, it absolutely might happen. And if I was the Bills, I would pull the trigger immediately in round two. Absolutely.
The great Thor Nystrom from rotoworld.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Thor, we spoke to Ben Solak of the Draft Network yesterday, and he had the Bills selecting Dalton Risner in the middle rounds. You actually have him as a second-ranked guard at RotoWorld. He's the type of versatile player that Sean McDermott would really, really love, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, absolutely. And I love Ben Solak, but I would be stunned if Dalton Risner is there in the middle rounds. To me, Dalton is a late first round, early second round type guy. He's another guy, you know, similar to N'Keal Harry, that gets nitpicked for a couple different things. And for Dalton, he's slow out of his stance. Like, I kind of think of him like my dad getting off the couch kind of a thing, like when the in-laws are knocking at the door and, you know, and then kind of ambling to the door. Like, Dalton's slow out of his stance, and he ambles a little bit. His movement skills aren't the best, but he's one. I compare him to Michael Myers, the Halloween movie character, in that he doesn't move real quick, but he never stops coming. And if he gets his hands on you, the play's over. And so, like, I project Dalton to guard. He could also play center, which is a position he played earlier in his career at Kansas State. I probably wouldn't try him at right tackle, even though I do think he could potentially swing it. It's just that at guard, I think he's just going to be a stud from the start. You know, I mean, like, he's drawn comps to Cody Whitehair, and I can't disagree with that. I think that Risner is going to be very, very good on the interior immediately. But if someone wants to try him at tackle, knock yourself out.
Thor Nystrom at rotoworld.com, writing many, many, many thousands of words on the NFL draft. Worth your time, worth the read. I'm curious, Thor, we know how hard you've been working. What are you working on next? And are we going to have the chance here before the draft, now less than 3 weeks away, to rack your brain a little bit more?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, let's book one for next week. I'd love to come back. And as far as what I'm working on now, we're almost done with offensive tackle. So that I forget the schedule, but that's either going to run tomorrow or else on Monday. And then right after that, moving on to the defenders. So the thing I'm going to be jumping into starting tomorrow is interior defensive linemen, edge rushers, linebackers, and then getting into the defensive backs. And within the next 10 days, if I'm not dead by the end of that, I will have all my dossiers and all those different prospects out on Roto World on the NFL draft section.
Thor Nystrom, the one player, the one person who can compare a player to Mike Myers. That says it all.
Right? It's a good draft comp. Yeah. Draft comp. Normally you would see another NFL player, but we got Mike Myers. It's good. I'm all about it, Thor.
It's a damn. You watch that kid, man. He gets his hands on you. It's scary. You know, it's scary. It's just like in the Halloween movies when you're like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Thor, it's great talking to you again. Appreciate your time as always. Let's do it again soon.
Gentlemen, pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Thor Nystrom, rotoworld.com. N'Keal Harry is interesting to me. Thor doesn't think he'll be there in round two.
No. Trade down. You like, I mean, a lot of these, but that's a scathing a review on DK Metcalf, as we've heard, right? In the medical issue, is that enough to, it's a good point, though. It's a really good point.
Yeah, look, I mean, do you think the Chargers could, if they could get a mulligan on Mike Williams, do you think they would take that?
Yes. Yeah, you draft a wide receiver in the top 10, you expect a franchise wide receiver, any position in the top 10. That's got to be somebody that the best in the position.
John Ross, the Bengals, you take a mulligan
Corey Davis.
Right? You take a mulligan on those. I think if they could do it over again, they'd be like, yeah. Now you're year three into like Mike Williams. You're 3 years in, and that's what you've gotten out of production. This will be your third year. You only have... 4 years, and then you can extend
maybe five.
So I just don't know that you ever get the value back on a wide receiver if you draft them top 10. I just don't think you do. I like these guys. I like N'Keal Harry. I like DK Metcalf. Oh, I am intrigued. I am intrigued by Hakeem Butler.
Would Butler at nine be a reach, though?
I still don't know if you take him top 10.
No.
All right, that was great. If you missed it, we'll get it up for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. Our conversation with Thor Nystrom of RotoWorld.com talking some NFL draft. I'll drink to that is on the way next in the sports bar. Some takes. Takes on tap.
Am I allowed to flip-flop on one of these Mets? The Met that just keeps yapping his mouth.
Oh, are you?
I defended him last week. I can't defend this guy
anymore.
It's
called moving the goalpost. You're just moving the goalpost. That's all.
No, I'm not moving the goalpost. It's all right. You're like, listen, it comes the point when let's a little less talky and a little more walky.
I have a Game of Thrones take, non-sports take. And I will tell you which quarterback going into 2019 has the most pressure on them to succeed. One above all.
Josh Allen?
Not Josh Allen.
No.
I think he gets a little bit of a pass. We'll get into that more. 454-ESPN is our phone number. 454-3776. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.